nakikinig sa SBS Filipino. Pakinggan niyo pa ang kwento sa sbs.com.au/filipino.
Ang genocide ay isang malalim at makapangyarihang termino. Ano ba ang tunay na ibig sabihin nito? At sino ang nagtatakda kung kailan dapat tawaging genocide ang isang labanan?
I'm interested in genocide because it happened so many times. It happened to the Armenians and after the Armenians, Hitler took action.
Si Rafael Lemkin ang lumikha ng terminong genocide. Isa siyang Polish na abogado na nag-imbento ng termino noong 1944 gamit ang Greek prefix o unlapi na genos na ang ibig sabihin ay lahi at Latin suffix o hulapi na side na ang ibig sabihin ay pagpatay. Ito ay bahagi ng kanyang tugon sa Holocaust, pati na rin sa mga nakaraang kaganapan sa kasaysayan.
And he thought, how is it that one person can be prosecuted and convicted and punished for killing one person, but we don't have the same crime for someone killing hundreds or thousands or even millions of people?
Sinasabi ni Dr. Melanie O'Brien, Pangulo ng International Association of Genocide Scholars, na dahil sa pangampanya ni Lemkin, kinilala at ginawa ang genocide bilang isang internasyonal na krimen noong 1948. Ito ang kilala natin ngayon bilang Genocide Convention.
Genocide is a set of crimes, a listed set of crimes that are committed with the intent to destroy in whole or in part a national, racial, ethnic, or religious group. And the particular crimes of genocide include the crime of killing, crimes of causing serious bodily or mental harm, the crimes of transferring children from one group to another, and several other crimes are listed as well.
Tanging ang mga bansang naging partido sa kasunduan ang obligadong sumunod dito. Mula sa 175 kinikilalang bansa sa buong mundo, 153 ang kasapi nito.
Now those state parties have made a promise, essentially they are bound under the convention to prevent and punish the crime of genocide.
Ano ang mga mangyayari kung labagin ang Genocide Convention?
That accountability might be in a criminal court or it might be in the International Court of Justice, which is a court that adjudicates disputes between states. And that includes disputes over treaties, including the Genocide Convention.
Bagaman tila simple ang proseso, pagdadala ng mga estado o individual sa korte, pagpapakita ng ebidensya, at maaaring magresulta sa legal na pagkilala sa genocide, limitado pa rin ang mga kaso na nakamit ang ganitong pagkilala. Ang mga utos ng korte ay maaaring magsama ng reparasyon, pangako na hindi na mauulit ang karahasan o kahit ang pagsasauli ng mga na-displaced na tao. Sabi ni Professor Sarah Williams ng University of New South Wales, tanging iilan lamang ang nakamit ang legal na pagkilala.
The genocide is notoriously difficult to prove. So that's why you might see prosecutors choosing to go for other crimes.
Pagdating sa International Court of Justice, 4 lamang ang may kinalaman sa Genocide Convention dahil tanging mga bansa lamang ang maaaring magsampa ng reklamo.
And so what we've seen is a great reluctance. Obviously, a state's not going to bring a claim against itself, so we've been relying on other states effectively reporting states committing genocide to the International Court of Justice, and for very many reasons, most obviously political, states haven't wanted to do that.
Noong Setyembre 2023, nakialam ang ibang mga estado. 32 bansa, kabilang ang Australia, ang sumuporta sa kaso ng Ukraine laban sa Russia para sa genocide. Ngunit, maaaring tumagal pa ng taon bago magkaroon ng resulta. Isa ito sa mga kahinaan ng sistema, ang mabagal na proseso, ayon kay Professor Williams.
That's partly because of the different procedural steps. So you're talking probably 7 to 10 years potentially from the time something is commenced to the time you get a fully reasoned judgment. So it doesn't move particularly quickly.
Samantala, maaaring humingi na ang korte ng pansamantalang mga hakbang.
So effectively interim orders that would try and bring an end here to the genocide.
Paano naman ang mga individual? Paano maaaring managot ang isang tao para sa genocide?
The ICC looks at individual criminal responsibility. So they're looking at things to the standard of beyond a reasonable doubt in the same way a court would look at a murder charge in Australia, for example.
Sa loob ng 22 taon mula nang itatag ang International Criminal Court, isa lamang ang naisyuhan nitong warrant ng pag-aresto para sa genocide. Noong 2009, ito ay para kay Omar Hassan Ahmad al-Bashir, Pangulo ng Sudan noong Darfur Genocide. Hindi pa siya nahuhuli at nadadala sa korte. Maraming mga pampolitika at legal na aspeto ang sangkot sa pagpapatunay ng genocide. Ngunit, madalas nating naririnig ang terminong ito, hindi lamang sa konteksto ng internasyonal na batas.
The word has an emotional attachment to it in a way other crimes don't. And I think that's this idea that it's a hierarchy, it's this crime of crimes.
Ani Professor Vasuki Nesaya ng New York University, ang genocide ay maaari ring gamitin bilang paraan ng pagpapahayag ng protesta at kalungkutan.
It's often treated as if it should be something that's decided by courts or that the convention is the only reference point for a genocide. But in fact, you know, people had, you know, across the world, many different kinds of ways of talking about the kinds of mass atrocity that we now use genocide as sort of a singular term to describe.
Dagdag niya, ang salitang genocide ay makapangyarihan sa ibang aspeto dahil madali itong makilala.
It becomes a way to translate different experiences of grave abuse into a language that is now a way of talking about it in different parts of the world.
Sinabi rin niya na ang terminong genocide ay maaaring pinagdedebatihan mula nang ito ay maging internasyonal na krimen noong 1948. Subalit, hindi natin dapat laging itali sa mahigpit na legal na depenisyon ito.
It's always been contested and there's always been multiple meanings. I think it's important that our own conception of genocide does not start in the middle of the 20th century, but you know, it's a 500-year history.
Ang ulat na ito ay nilikha ni Olivia Diorio para sa SBS Examines na isinalin sa wikang Filipino. Martin Tuanyo, SBS Filipino.
Nice yung bang makinig na iba pang kwento na tulad ito? Makinig sa Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify o sa iba pang podcast apps.